Superior, Wisconsin, and Duluth, Minnesota are often called the Twin Ports. The close neighbors have a lot in common, but our next guest says there's a big difference in recent years, the partisan politics of their states, with Minnesota under a Democratic governor and legislature, and Wisconsin under Republican control.
Monica Davey joins us now. She's a Midwest reporter for the New York Times, and her piece on Duluth and Superior, Twinned Cities Now Following Different Paths, was published this past weekend. Monica, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you work for a newspaper with a national scale. Why was it important to tell the story of the differences between Wisconsin and Minnesota?
Well, I think what we're trying to do is tell the story of sort of what's happening in lots of states. So we picked Minnesota and Wisconsin because they're a good example of a larger trend that's going on. So what you have going around in the country is there are 36 states that are under single-party control, either Democrats, all Democrats, or all Republicans. And that's the most that we've had since 1952. So it's making some dramatic differences. And Minnesota and Wisconsin seemed like a really good way to tell that story and to tell how that's actually affecting people's lives on the ground, not just in some state capital somewhere.
And it shows how that's sitting basically side by side. You have Minnesota and Wisconsin, you know, in a lot of ways very similar, right? I mean, in terms of looking at the states, but treating things differently.
I think that's really true. I mean, lots of people I've talked to and people up there gave me the sense that they're culturally the same in many ways, that they sort of life has felt the same in many ways there over a long period of time. And when you have Duluth and Superior, I guess the beauty of them being right next to each other, you really have people who are living not just in one or the other city, but they spend, you know, they may work in Duluth and live in Superior or vice versa. They eat meals in different, you know, the different cities. It's really sort of a porous border there. People go in between. And so it feels particularly dramatic to have such different policies coming down in two different states when they're only a couple miles apart in a place like Duluth and Superior.
Now, could you talk a little bit about some of the differences you noticed or as you talked to people? I know that you spoke to some people who were educators and they lived on one side of the border and taught on the other. And
that's right. Well, I think that obviously you all know as Wisconsinites, you know that there have been a lot of changes for public sector collective bargaining in Wisconsin since 2011. That was a big issue there, and certainly it's gotten lots of coverage. But what I saw was that if you actually live in a place like Superior, Wisconsin, you have felt it. If you are a teacher and a family there, the family that I spoke to had really felt some financial pain from it. They're paying more for their health care, higher contributions to their pensions. And so, you know, Kim Smith, the woman that I met with there, she's actually gone from being a part-time teacher to a full-time teacher, and it was because they needed the money. They needed to increase the income at, you know, sometime shortly after the 2011 changes. So again, what struck me was this dramatic difference there on the ground. Now, on the other side of that, you've got a business owner in Duluth who has watched the business taxes in Minnesota, something called business-to-business taxes there, go up. And he's deeply concerned about this. That's affecting his life, affecting his business. And he said that, you know, when he looks at the laws that have changed in Minnesota, which, again, is controlled now by all Democrats, that if he were opening his company there now, he would give a second thought to whether he would actually do that in Minnesota. So, again, I guess what I saw was really life diverging.
Now, did you get a sense from the people that you talked to that this might affect how they vote in the future or anything like that, sort of based on being able to see, you know, the other side of the fence, so to speak? Do you think that seemed to have an influence on how people might want to think about things in the future?
Yeah, I think it certainly has to. I mean, if your lives are affected so directly, it has a big impact. I talked to a gay couple who lives in on the Wisconsin side, and they're making a serious effort to move to the Duluth side because they feel that same-sex marriage is very important to them. Obviously, Minnesota made that legal in August, and Wisconsin has not moved similarly. So for a couple like them, this has a pretty major impact. Now, I'm sure there are lots of people in both of those cities who haven't felt this sort of as intently as some of the people that I spoke to. I think one thing that's interesting, though, if you look at Wisconsin and Minnesota and you look at the 2012 election, the presidential election, the states voted nearly identically. They favored Obama, both states did, and the vote was almost the same. So the interesting piece of that, I mean, what it tells you is that they still, it's not that the people who live in these states are so vastly different now. I think it's largely that you're seeing the changes in the capital.
Is it unusual to see a situation like Minnesota and Wisconsin that are sort of culturally so similar, having such different politics in each state like that?
I think it's very different. I mean, I think that most of us think to ourselves, well, you know, there are states like Kansas that are you know, Republicans have always done very well there, or California, where Democrats now control both chambers of the legislature and the governor's office. And those don't surprise us as much. I think it's a little more surprising when you see a Minnesota and a Wisconsin, and knowing that their history and their culture has been largely the same, that they, you know, really aside from the Packers and the Vikings, they don't have that much to argue about. And yet, these things are going in really dramatically different directions. And actually, my colleague wrote a story that explained part of why that is. There has been, it's partly something that's happened naturally, but it's also by virtue of money being raised and spent to win over control of states. People have seen opportunities elsewhere around the country in other states and are sending money in to win control, both of democratically controlled states and of Republican controlled states.
Now, in some ways, it seems like a place like the Twin Ports may benefit from the fact that they have both. I mean, you know, from an economic perspective, if you look at the region, did you get a sense of that when you were there, or was that sort of outside of the scope of your article?
Oh, you mean the idea that they get a little taste of everything?
Right.
Yeah, I guess that's an interesting way to look at it. I hadn't really thought about it that way. I mean, I think the interesting thing is this is all happening right now. I mean, Minnesota became all democratically held in the legislature just in 2013. So to some degree, the people in Duluth and Superior, they're looking at these individual changes in their lives, and they're not yet seeing how does this play out long term? Do we become less and less alike, or will, you know, next year both of those states, not next year, this year, 2014, both of those states have important governor's races, and in a way it'll be a test of one-party control. It'll be a test to say, did Minnesotans and people who live in Duluth, did they feel good about the dramatic changes that Democrats in St. Paul made? And the same goes for on the Wisconsin side and the changes that Governor Walker has made in Madison. These are really, really interesting elections because of these dramatic changes that are going on.
So, so in some ways, do you think that maybe the election cycle that's coming up do you think it could shift things in some ways? And maybe somewhere like Wisconsin, where we do have a lot of people who live along borders, whether it's the Illinois border or Iowa or Minnesota, do you think that might make it easier for people to start thinking about how the politics are going in their state?
I think there are a lot of elements that go into what happens in the elections in November, but I do think this is a really important test of one-party control of states. We have, again, this is the most states that have single-party control in state capitals that we've had in, you know, more than half a century, and now it's time to test, do we like that or not? Do people feel as though the policies you can get a lot more done if you have control of an entire capital. You can pass your agenda in a way that we've seen in Washington. They can't always do very well with divided government. So the question then is left to the voters whether they like it or not. Do they like the agenda that their one-party controlled capital has passed? And that'll be a really interesting test. And it's a test all over the country. In my region, you've got great similar tests of that in, you know, Michigan, Illinois, the places that have had single party control, Ohio, Pennsylvania, we're going to see, did people like it or not?
Well, our guest is Monica Davey with the New York Times. We're talking about her piece comparing Duluth and Superior, basically looking at Minnesota and Wisconsin in comparison.
And we want to hear from you. And we wonder if you see differences in state policies having a big impact on the border. If you're in Minnesota or Wisconsin, do you ever hop the border to take advantage of what the other side has to offer? And for those of you not in the area, what do you think of the ways partisan control of the two states is affecting your life? You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page or email us at talk@WPR.org.
We'll continue the conversation after the news. You can join us, though, at 800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Join the conversation after the news. I'm Mike Arnold.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Mike Arnold, filling in for Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Monica Davey of the New York Times. She wrote a piece comparing the Twin Ports, Duluth and Superior, highlighting the different approaches taken by state lawmakers in Wisconsin and Minnesota.
And we'd love to hear from you now. You can join in with your thoughts and your questions at 1-800-642-1234. What about you? Would you consider leaving or moving to Wisconsin for political reasons?
Did you cross over to Minnesota to do anything, or would you consider moving to Minnesota? We'd like to hear your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. I'd like to bring Monica Davey back on. Monica, you had said that one of the reasons you looked at Wisconsin and Minnesota is because there are more states that have sort of a single-party government thing going on right now. And this is at a time when there seems to be more political polarization than ever. Why do you think those two things happen at the same time?
You know, I think that's an interesting question. There are lots of answers to that are probably correct. I do think I think people are fed up with sort of dysfunction of Washington, and sometimes divided government doesn't look like the most efficient way to go. You end up with shutdowns and that sort of thing. And certainly when you have one party in control, you can get a lot done. I think there are also some demographic reasons why that would just naturally be the case that, there's certainly states where we know, that have always sort of leaned Democratic or always leaned Republican, and there's really no surprise to that. And they're changing numbers of people moving in and out. And so there's some demographic reasons that make sense for that. I think, but I do think that finances have had a big influence on this. And I think what we found at the New York Times was that there are plans to get when there's national money that's being spent on some of these state races, where people are saying, well, look, it looks as though this particular state capital could be put all in Republican control or all in Democratic control, and then we could get some of the things we want done, so let's send money that way. And so that's part of, I think, the reason for it.
Well, let's go to the phones. 1-800-642-1234 is a number to call if you want to join. Let's go to Jim in Superior. Jim, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I live in Superior, and I work over in Duluth. And we noticed in our place of work that there was an influx of people from Wisconsin when the policies changed over. Do you have any information or data? Has there been better job growth in one state or the other because of these policies?
Is it that you noticed people were moving for their jobs, or they were literally moving their homes?
I'm a teacher, and it was people moving to try and get employment in Minnesota to keep in Minnesota rather than Wisconsin.
Yeah, I watched and heard lots of debate over this, and I think that in 5 years we'll be able to make a really good judgment on this. I mean, again, I heard from both states and talked to officials there, and I think that the problem is that it's a little bit too new to know really what the outcome is. You know, Madison went to one party control with Republicans in 2011, and Minnesota went to all Democrats in 2013. So, I think a good example is that the couple that I talked to who said, they want to put their house on the market, but they aren't quite there yet. They haven't done it yet. So I think that we will, if these states stay in single party control and if Duluth and Superior continue to head on these diverging paths, I think we'll see those numbers play out maybe 5 years from now. I think it's a little premature to say.
Well, thank you so much for that call, Jim. I really appreciate it. We're talking to Monica Davey of the New York Times. She wrote a piece comparing the Twin Ports, Duluth and Superior, basically showing the political differences between Wisconsin and Minnesota and highlighting that. And we're also hearing from you if you want to join the conversation. Do you live on the border? Have you considered leaving Wisconsin for Minnesota or other places for political reasons? Have you noticed that there's this difference in politics in the states? We'd like you to join the conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. And let's go to Nate in Milwaukee. Nate, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me. I was going to mention that in addition to money, which I think definitely has an impact in politics, in Wisconsin, you've got gerrymandering of legislative districts, which basically means one party drew the map to favor itself, and this was apparent in Wisconsin, where more people actually voted to have a Democrat represent themselves in the state legislature, and yet the other party represents the majority or has a majority of the seats. In Minnesota, there's a difference because the maps are not gerrymandered there, so the people actually have a political choice on the state legislature level, and it can switch back and forth, and it actually does.
Nate, I think that's a really good point. We saw this, you know, this is what's happening around the country, so that once you do have single-party control, in lots of states, they do, every 10 years, get to redraw the maps. And so if you have control, it's somewhat easier then to keep control because of the gerrymandering, yes.
So it's a very complicated mix of things, then, that you're dealing with here, then, Monica?
I think that's right. I mean, I think it really is a whole, and it's different in different states. And again, there are some states that have always been in Republican or Democratic control. And what makes it interesting, and what I think the best test cases then are the places like Wisconsin and Minnesota, which, you know, to some degree are considered purple, which can go back and forth and have had their moments of control in either party. And we're just seeing it now in a really stark way there, and it makes it really interesting study. You know, one thing about single party control is that it's sort of made the states, as opposed to Washington, which we're used to, it's made the states this testing ground for all sorts of policies, you know, on gay marriage, on taxation, on health care, on all sorts of issues. The states have really become this really, really busy testing ground to sort of see which policy works, what works best.
And do you think that could be part of the reason why we're seeing a lot of, you know, sort of state legislation in some areas that you would not expect states to move forward with, things like legalizing marijuana and different issues like that?
I think that's right. I think that, again, you've seen some of the most dramatic legislation over the past couple of years with this single-party control. There was a big Republican wave in the 2010 elections, and then you had some places like Colorado and Minnesota in the 2012 elections. And so those states are testing out a variety of policies, and we're seeing how they play out.
We're talking about states with the single political party leading them, like Wisconsin or Minnesota. Jim from Muskego joins us now. Jim, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. I just wanted to make comment. I moved from Michigan to Wisconsin.
Uh-huh. Jim, are you still there? I think we lost Jim. Basically, he said that he moved to Wisconsin for political reasons from Michigan, actually. And it seems like that actually could be one of the side effects, I suppose, of this change, don't you think, Monica?
Well, that's interesting. I couldn't hear much of what he was saying, but if he was moving from Michigan, one of the interesting things about Michigan is that it, too, is a state that went to single-party control in that 2010 Republican wave. And so Michigan, too, is now dominated in both chambers of its legislature and in the governor's office by Republicans, and it's done its own set of changes, which are seen as dramatic tests, sort of Republican policy and what's going to work. They passed right-to-work legislation there last year, and that's been very controversial. So I don't. I'm curious to know what led Jim to move from Michigan, but I guess he's no longer with us.
Yes, I think that will continue to be a mystery for us. But John from Grand Rapids is on the line. So John, you want to join the conversation here on Central Time?
Yeah, I'm actually originally from Superior. I have a lot of relatives in Duluth Superior area, and am considering. I'm in Central Wisconsin at the moment. Been here about 25 years, but with all the activity of political turn to the right in Wisconsin, I am considering leaving Wisconsin and moving back up into the, northern Minnesota.
And why is that?
I'm not happy with Act 10. I'm not happy with the Tea Party attitude towards public employees. I'm not happy with my employer, et cetera. But also I wonder, too, like if you guys can remember, because Superior is in such a unique situation in terms of the geography of the state and the distance from the state capital. We're actually 150 miles from St. Paul, but we're 320 miles from Madison. Do you recall, I know there's been talk when I was growing up in the 70s, and I think it had started actually earlier in the several decades prior to that, that some talk of northern Michigan, the UP, northern Wisconsin and northern Minnesota becoming the 51st state, and they're going to call it Superior. I wondered if you had heard of that talk, if any of that's ever been resurrected. I haven't heard of it in years.
John, that's a good question. Monica, you may not have heard of that. But
I sure haven't, but what an interesting idea. No, I hadn't heard about that.
Well, I think we'll have to end on that note. You have any final thoughts on this? Do you expect to do additional coverage related to this issue?
We are doing. We're going to continue writing about one-party rule across the country and sort of what it is meant. And I guess my final thought would just be that I would be watching the coming elections through this lens. I think it's a really, really interesting test of whether people like what they're seeing or whether they don't. And I'll be curious to see how much of that comes up. It'll be really interesting to see how the governor in Minnesota does and how the governor in Wisconsin does and how this issue plays out. Maybe we'll see by after November, maybe we will have, you know, fewer than ever single-party controlled states. Maybe people will reject it, but I think it'll be a moment of testing for this one-party rule.
Well, Monica, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Monica Davey is the Midwest reporter for The New York Times.